this album. You were saying, we were just chatting before, and you were saying how you listen to it now and you think, oh, I could have done that better, I could have done this better, because you've progressed in the last 18 months since we did it. But it is killer though, isn't it? I think
it's a great album, yeah. It's incredible. Really cool.
What do you like about it?
I like that it's a celebration. Yeah. For me, it's really nice because I grew up kind of adoring these CDs. Mm. And then to be able to do one of those,
yeah,
it's like, you know, it's like,
yeah. Just a tick off the old bucket list.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. And it was, yeah, just, I was completely addicted to, well, I still am, just to big band music, you know, and I'm completely addicted, like all day, every day, in the car, out the car, to go to sleep, you know what I mean? It was just so, like, hammered it, properly hammered it, you know?
You played really well, man.
Thanks.
What I think is, a lot of people won't know as well, that you kind of got, you got dropped in it, kind of, because obviously you were going to be sharing the drum chair with a couple of people who then couldn't do it. So it was all on you. Obviously, yeah, Steve as well helped out. But I think you probably played most of the tracks, didn't you?
I'm not sure what the count is.
Was it half? I don't know. But I just remember thinking, God, this kid, like, he's, how old were you when we did it?
I think I was 20.
Yeah. So you were 20. By far the youngest person in the band, because obviously it's all made up of alumni people from the past 50 years.
Yeah. I think the next one's Miv, isn't it?
Yeah. So you were way younger than everyone else. And not only that, like when you're in a section, like you, if you're playing second tenor, second alto, you can kind of hide, if you know what I mean. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you can, you've got backup. It's like, oh, I've got, you know, I'm in a section, I can blend in, you know. But when you're the drummer, it's you can't hide. You can't do anything like that. So I thought you did really, 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 really well, considering your age.
It was scary. And
I bet it was. I was nervous doing my stuff.
Yeah.
But if I was 20,
I was scared.
And doing the drums to that, I mean, that music was so hard, some of it.
Yeah,
some
especially
of it was so difficult.
Like with, like, you know, Ruben Fowler really helped me, you know, really, really kind of, you know, I could just message him or call him and he'd answer or get back to me and just be like, don't worry, mate, you're sounding great. Check this out. Yeah. That was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. But like just wanting to impress the likes of, well, not just him, but everybody, obviously, but
it would, you
know, knowing that how successful he is, how amazing he is, not wanting to do a shit job in front of him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wanting to be like, right, I'd like to be able to do something with him again, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will.
I'd love to. But just having that sort of confidence, I think was really, really hard, because like you say, if I mucked it up, everyone would have knew about it and we would have stopped. Do you know what I mean? There'd have been no point in carrying on.
Yeah.
You know, you can maybe sort out a few, you can not play a solo and then overdub it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Like the pressure was on
and,
you know, you add into that, you're the youngest, least experienced member of the whole outfit. And then on day one, I remember, we were obviously getting in the studio. Everyone was like, wow, this is amazing. And you're walking around just getting a feel for the place. And I remember I was setting up the sax chairs or something and getting my stuff out. And I remember looking into the booth and you were in there with Steve and I think Paul was in there with you. And it was like, did you mic it up first and you could hear something weird? Is that what happened?
So there was a little
sound.
We changed the heads on everything, basically.
Did you get new heads delivered to the studio or something?
No, I actually bought 2 lots of heads.
Right.
I'm not going to dob the companies in that didn't send them on time. But I didn't receive some of the heads in time. So then I had to go shopping the day before, trying to find the heads that I'd ordered.
Right.
Because I wanted specific ones.
Right.
And so I was rushing around and then the bass drum head was a problem because it basically has like a layer of muffling sort of around it, which is nice for a studio, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, lots of things are nice for a studio, but I kind of spoke to Steve Hanley, kind of what would you like also? Because it was, you know, and
because he was playing them too.
Anyway, couldn't quite get one that would have been good. And I said to him, "Well, I've got this head on it at the minute. It's had a bit of play. Do you think it'll be fine?" He was like, "Yeah, I think it'll be fine, mate."
All right.
And then
Jeremy heard something, didn't he? Did he?
I don't know if it was Jeremy.
Somebody heard something.
In fact, it probably was, because he's just a genius.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he is.
Like, you know, his ears should be like, you know, like, you just hear everything. Amazing. Yeah. But there was like a little rattle. There's a little rip in the muffler. There's like a thing that holds the muffler in. And it was just kind of plastic on plastic.
Right. Like a buzz sound. Yeah.
You know. Just a little bit. And yeah, obviously, if you'd have recorded with that, you wouldn't be able to take it out. So
but that was like literally day one, wasn't it, as you were setting up?
Yeah, but that's what that time was for, you know, at the beginning. Yeah. It was to get these problems out of the way. So thank God, you know.
That's like me getting there and like, I don't know, a key not working or pads falling out. I'd be just like, shit.
Yeah, but we just got a bit of tape and stuck it down. Like, it was solvable, but it was finding what that noise was.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's that, you know.
Did that put you off?
I think no, because start of the day was like solving a problem almost, but and it was like get, you know, already working with the guy in the guys in the studio and speaking to everyone and getting a bit more comfortable, and you sit down, it's like, oh, I've had a good conversation with everyone, we've all solved a problem together, sort of thing. It's like, this doesn't now feel like
good,
you know.
So in a way it was good that it happened, because it kind of like broke the ice.
Exactly.
And I guess
in
a way it's like, well, nothing can go wrong, because that's pretty much as bad as it could have got, like you know, the drums are not working essentially. And you got through it, so
yeah.
What's your favorite track on the album?
I think favorite things.
Let me rephrase it. What's your favorite one to play, and what's your favorite one to listen to?
Interesting. I think my favorite things is up there. It's hard to say what my favorite is, but I think that one is. Just the way that the band play together, and the way that. We're all like, the band is playing and then Ruben's phrasing the melody over the top. It's like incredible. It's like really like, and his solo in that is like ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think that is great. I think my favorite to play would probably be, Maybe You Know It Makes Sense. Just because like when your dad's going up for it on that, it's really good.
I do like that one, I have to say.
Yeah.
My favorite things is really difficult.
It's hard.
It is really, really difficult. It's not so much, it's obviously for the sax, it's the getting your fingers around the solly.
Oh, yeah.
But it's almost like it's the timing as well. Well, because it's in three and it's super fast. You know, we don't play in three as much as we play in four.
Yeah.
And it's fast as, you know, fast can be.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty stressful, that one. But it has come out really well.
I think it's just great writing. Like
Steve Parry.
I think it's just...
Who's a drummer, by the way?
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
No.
Steve Parry's a drummer and he writes stuff like that.
It's great.
That's why it's too hard, because he has no idea how difficult playing his solis are on saxophone.
Yep.
But yeah, it's like a great it's Victor, a great arrangement.
Victor.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Written by a drummer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, you're onto something, new drummers.
Yeah,
you're not as thick as you look, are you?
Not all the time. Half the time.
I had to get a drum joke in there, Joe.
It's
sorry.
All right.
Yeah, it was great. And now we're doing gigs with it. Well, you are. I'm not playing at the moment, but it seems to be, especially the Crooks gig the other week, that seemed to be really well attended.
Yeah.
How's the Bob Florence stuff going down?
It's good. It's really good diving into somebody's music. I feel like we could probably do it a bit more.
It's good, isn't it, Bob Florence?
Yeah. I feel like we could probably, because also at the same time, I think we're trying to sell this album.
Yeah.
So we're still doing album stuff.
Yeah.
Which I think we should do. But it's...
The only problem with Bob Florence charts is how long they physically are.
Yeah.
When you're turning them over.
Yeah. There's...
It's a nightmare, isn't it?
A lot of pages.
And it's heavy, like old...
Yeah. Yeah, like bigger than paper. A4. It's like,
doesn't fit.
What is that size?
Understand. I don't know.
You know what I mean? It's between.
Do you know why they make it like funny size like that? I think it's to stop people photocopying back in the day.
Probably, yeah.
That's why they did it. They made
it. Maybe a bit easier to read as well, a little bit bigger.
Maybe, but I think that the reason that that music back then, the actual physical music was in a weird size, I think was to stop people from photocopying.
It's interesting.
It's not really a thing now, but yeah, it's... but yeah, Bob Florence charts, they're great.
Mm.
But they always get, like, literally like 10, 12 pages long, some of them.
Yeah.
It's nuts, isn't it?
It is nuts. Hard.
Yeah, hard stuff.
Yeah. I feel like in a way it's hard because it's really hard to get the group together, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot, as you know, a lot of organising. Yeah. It's painful.
Painful, that's one word to describe it. It's hard, but everyone's been great though, you know. I think ever since we started the project, four years ago now, everyone's been really good and they've all given their time freely and I think everyone's done it for the same reason. It's like you say, it's a celebration.
Yeah, it is.
And yeah, I mean, I've obviously played on all the CDs, not the cassettes. And I think this was the hardest one. Even though I'm a better player now than I was 20 years ago, it still felt like this one was the hardest.
I feel like the difference is though, on some of those CDs you did, you were playing every week.
That is true.
Yeah. And that's one thing that this is missing that I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're right.
We should be playing the same, as painful as it is, we should be playing that same music every week.
Yeah.
That's how the bands did it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
You're right, actually. Because when we did like Flight of Fancy, the first CD.
Yeah, I bet you were rinsing it.
Playing all the time. And I think we'd done a tour, we'd done Albert Hall and something else. Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to sound
just
mega.
You were all over it. Mm. And that was hard stuff as well. But yeah, like that was the difficulty with this project, was getting people essentially from all over the country, not just Doncaster, to kind of rehearse and then, put this project together.
Mm.
And that's why it was like a labour of love, because it was hard music. It was hard trying to get people together. COVID happened, you know. And
that was my saving. That's got me on the album, really.
Yeah.
COVID.
Yeah.
I'd say. Because if it wasn't for, it would have just happened.
Yeah. Do you remember rehearsing with all the screens everywhere? And
horrible.
It was a horrible sound, wasn't it? Because the plastic was just like, it just reverberated everywhere. But everyone had to have these... Yeah. You had your own screen around just the drum kit, didn't you?
Yeah, but like not like a...
Yeah.
To head height, to like...
Yeah, it's weird. And then I think that's why...
9 foot tall.
I struggled, like, you know, when we first started messing around with the cans, it felt really strange to me because I could all of a sudden... hear every single person in the band.
What, in the rehearsals?
No, in the studio.
Because we did
and I'd not heard it.
That, didn't we?
I'd not heard half of the stuff because you couldn't hear it.
Mm.
So when we got into the studio and it was like, here's your cans, it was like, oh, this is a bit, very strange feeling. But again, if you were to, I suppose, if you play in studios each week, you know, you get used to that.
Oh, yeah.
That sound, don't you?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a big thing for me, was like, should I have one ear on, one ear off?
Yeah.
You know, I was constantly faffing with them for 2 days in Thailand. Never got it right.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, just weird.
Because when you play sax, you get like a warp, don't you?
It's not nice to have.
You get like a, I remember, I've done it a little bit. Just tried playing with headphones on or recording myself at home.
Yeah.
When you got headphones, it's like.
It's a bit like when you've got earplugs in. If you've got total occlusion, which is like, you know, when your ear canals are sealed. It's not a nice feeling because you can't hear your tone. You can just hear your tone from within your head, and it's a really strange sound. It's good for intonation.
It's great for drumming.
Yeah, actually, but it is. But it's crap for, like, am I loud enough? Is my tone all right?
Mm.
It's good for intonation, and that's about it.
Mm.
But yeah, so when you've got cans on and it's like, oh, I can hear literally fifth trombone or, you know, fifth trumpet.
Yeah, it's great.
Wow. But it does take some getting used to, definitely.
Yeah.
Have you done any studio work since that?
Yeah, I've done some bits.
Oh, yeah,
I've actually been having lessons in the studio with Ralph Sammons. Great.
Who's that?
Must be one of the most recorded drummers.
Is he?
In the UK.
Wow.
He's one of the teachers at Guildhall, and I get to have lessons with him.
Okay.
So like, I had a lesson with them the other day, and he was... books out the studio, just like puts tracks on, random tracks. It's like, right, you're going to have two goes at this and you're going to come down and sit and listen to it, listen to your sound. We're going to go through it, you know, where you're hitting the drums, where you're, you know, that stuff is, in my opinion, the...
That's great.
Yeah, it's so good. And Ralph's recorded with everyone and everything. Yeah. Absolutely mega. It's like on some of the Harry Potter films and stuff.
Really?
He's on absolutely everything.
Is that where you want to be one day, doing stuff like that?
Yeah. So, like, and like, he's a big band drummer as well. He plays amazing big band. His groove is like...
Have you played in the album?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've played in bits. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did he have some good things to say about your drumming?
I thought he was great. Yeah, I think it's hard because in that time of my career, it's the beginning of my career, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I hadn't really developed a sound.
Yeah.
I was just drumming.
Yeah.
I had all these influences. I didn't really know what I was going for. I was just like, oh, I'll do that because this person does that. I'll do this. But I feel like over the past 2 years, I've started to home in on what kind of sound I'm going for.
Yeah.
Which I feel like if I'd had that when I was doing the album, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's a bit cringy listening back because I'm like...
No, mate, don't... Honestly, it's amazing what you did.
Thanks.
It really is.
But it was very fun.
It was fun.
Studio work is fun.
It is. I think when you're relaxed, when you relax into it, definitely the back end of the first day was like, oh, this is cool. I'm into this now. I'd love to be doing it every day. Like if that was your main job,
it really broke me into it as well. Because it's like, what a better environment to have like your first proper professional big recording. And it's with people you've grown up, I've grown up surrounded by, so it was very comfortable.
Yeah. I've done very, very little studio work, but when I do it, it's
studio.
What I love about it is like everyone wants to make it as good as possible. And it's like, everyone's honest, aren't they? It's like, I fluffed this bit, even though I might not have heard it. Oh, I fluffed this, we need to do this bit again.
Yeah.
I love that aspect of like getting it clinically, like bang on, which obviously when you're playing live, it's a whole different kettle of fish.
It's never
going to be perfect live.
Though this is what I recently had a kind of bump in with, because I had a live on the radio, studio session.
Yeah.
So it was BB6 radio, Radio BB6 live.
Yeah.
So we're in a proper studio, but everything we did
was live. Right.
So you had to kind of do what you had to channel your inner, this is a recording session, but
it's a gig. Cool.
It was great. It came out amazing.
Yeah.
We were like absolutely buzzing. But it's probably because of that pressure of it being like, we can't do this again.
It's that light, isn't it? When that light goes on, it's like,
oh, and the guys on the radio are like, oh, we're gonna hear from the live session now, and then you can see them, and it comes over, and it's like.
So you don't pre-record it, and then they put it out.
No, it was literally live. There was over 500,000 listeners or something live.
Wow.
At the time. It was ridiculous. Loads and loads and loads of listeners live at the time, and then people go back and then once you've done it, it's also available to stream. Yeah. It's like, so if you do,
you can send me that. I want to listen to it.
Yeah, I'll send you.
Send me the link.
Yeah, we got.
Right. You need to get to DJ rehearsal.
Yeah, I do. Get some food first.
You better crack on. Thanks for coming. I'll see you again.
That's all right, yeah.
Take care.